The topics and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4WN Radio, its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4WN Radio.
All Women's Radio, W4WN.com, live on iTunes and archived on iHeartRadio, the number one ranked women's internet radio station, Women for Women Talk Radio. And now, join Shea Parker's Best of the Best, offering celebrity guests, lively discussions, hot topics, free psychic readings, and expert guest hosts. Simply the best in spiritual and metaphysical talk radio. Best of the Best. Join our live chat room or call now, 561-422-4365 or on Skype at W4WN Radio. Find out more at bestamericanpsychics.com and bestamericanhealers.com.
Our Shea Parker's Best of the Best audience that has followed us to the number one women's network. How are you? We are live on iTunes and archived on iHeartRadio. All right here. And you are listening to your Spirit Hour. I have an exciting. How great is it right now, by the way, you guys? How great is it to just to be here? I am so grateful to be able to be a part of Best American Psychics and Best American Healers. I am incredibly grateful to have this opportunity to share what actually helped me early on just kind of understand the metaphysical world. And I right now have an incredible guest. There's a couple of parts to that. She is right now in Ireland, and she is Sarah de la Mer. And before I have her come on, I just want to introduce her. She is, besides the most, one of the most accurate mystics out there. She is known for expert in timing events. She is a healer. She is a writer. She has, she writes several articles for several different magazines. She has a book called Starscope. She loves to do things like I do, which is trying to gauge sports and teams and numbers using her magic that way, which I actually absolutely love. She is a life coach expert and a consciousness facilitator. And she is just, I am privileged to have her here with us, and I want to welcome her in. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
Oh, Jennifer, hello. Thank you for the wonderful introduction. How are you?
I'm doing well. How is it over there? What time is it over there,
It's very wet, but I'm used to funny hours. As you know, I've got so many friends, transatlantic friends. So I think I'm here, there, and everywhere. There's bits of me already in America, I think.
Yes, we'll dive into that in a little bit. But from the time that we spoke to each other a while ago, this is our actual first time to actually speak to each other over any type of phone internet modality. But you have such a great heart in your work. We both love our work. We both wouldn't make ourselves available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But you really, really just take it to a whole different level. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate all the hard work that you do to not only make Best American Psychics better as a group, as a collective group, but just you truly are great. I mean, I haven't even touched the fact that, one of my favorite rock stars ever, Bono, for me too. I wanted you on the show before I even knew that. I'm like, oh, no way.
Oh, so many years in Ireland.
I know, but that's so great. It's so great.
Yeah, he's wonderful. Yeah.
And then Ashton Kutcher identified you on the Jimmy Kimmel, the Jimmy Kimmel Show. That's
he did,
awesome.
Well, of course. Yeah. Well, being Ashton, he made a joke of it, of course. But it was very funny. It was like, oh, I've got this psychic. She tells me how to tie my shoelaces every day. It was very funny, of course. And Jimmy was going, is she okay? it was funny. But he was gracious enough to say yes. He said I was very on point in his way, so that was sweet.
Yeah, that is quite amazing. I mean, not only that, you have Simon Cowell. I mean, that story is fascinating, what you did to pick the Irish pop stars, the 6 out of 32. And by the way, you did, Simon Cowell didn't really exist. Well, he just started coming over to the U.S. when this happened.
No, he didn't exist.
He didn't exist in my world. but he did later on, of course, over here.
Right. I mean, yeah, actually that show was one of the... Well, he had done here Pop Idol, I think, which was the beginnings of the American Idol that he brought. Yeah, I don't think you're right. He hadn't yet brought shows to America. But this was one of the first pop stars. There were so many, we've got X Factor pop stars, Pop Idol, American Idol, but this one was Irish pop stars. And yeah, it was a great experience. And I think he couldn't quite believe what happened, although he's quite more a spiritual man than people might think. But yeah, it was an interesting story. I had to read for 32 people.
Wow.
At that time, it was kind of like I was falling off asleep. Jennifer, it's difficult for us to, if we have a heavy situation or a couple of heavy readings in a day, to do more than one or two. But, quick sort of sound bite readings for these 32 kids. But yeah, draining, as you know. But it was interesting, though. I mean, and in a way, if I'd used my logical mind, I would have got quite bewildered, because you could tell they were all very talented and enthusiastic and all lovely looking. They would have all looked the part. And so to have to predict, obviously I gave profiles on camera as reading, but there was no interaction with me and any of the film crew, any of the judges, until the following morning, actually, when I had put the names of who I predicted in an envelope. That was myself, actually. I put my head on the line. I suggested that.
I actually explained this to my husband, what happened, and I'll let you finish the story. But he said, he goes, well, of course she did, because of course, that's my husband's a whole different story.
You married a skeptic.
I married a skeptic. But he keeps, God love him. He keeps me laughing.
It's branding, you know.
You know what? I can't, he's perfect for being a reflective, it makes me understand skeptics. And I am too of this. You kind of have to be. But then when you understand it, you just, of course you can't have any fear. And we'll go into that. But he ended up telling me, he goes, well, yeah, if she predicted it, they can actually make the show fit her predictions. And I'm like, I don't think TV's that generous, to be quite honest with you. But I told him, I said, I would ask you about that. But yes, I realized that you put it into an envelope. But carry on. I would love to hear the rest of the story.
It's interesting he's asked that, and it's a good way of telling the story, actually, from that angle, because actually the producers were ultimately very annoyed with me. because I put my six names in a bank vault as well, just in case there was any funny business. Because yes, you're right, TV can be unforgiving. I had to cover my track on what my prediction had been, so I got witnesses and that was just precautionary, really. But that's right, because the sixth girl. Now there was an obvious favourite called Nadia.
Right.
Nadine, who's in Girls Aloud. I think it's worldwide known, Girls Aloud. She made the cut on another reality show after this one. But she was too young for this Irish pop stars. And I have to say, when she sat down beside me, my heart went, I didn't know the rules. I knew nothing about what they were looking for, actually. But when she sat down, I kind of, how when you're reading, your solar plexus does a jump sometimes. I just sort of went, my energy went boom, it fell to the floor, and I thought, oh my God, what's going on? She's a nice girl. but just something went whoa, warmth, and I thought, oh, this is not right. And I could gather she was a favorite to go through. And then I was sort of questioning myself once I was heading home. Mm-hmm. That girl's not in my envelope. She's not in my envelope, but she's not meant to be. And then my sixth girl, Sarah, she turned out Nadine had lied about her age, and the producers did not know. And there was a whole series, or one really a funny program, an amazing program, where they had to go up to Northern Ireland. Her father was hiding her passport. So it turned into kind of an interesting reality TV show on that level. They had to go investigative on this girl's background. It was quite funny. poor girl, though. They had to handle it sensitively because she was young and she was talented. And it was quite a tricky situation for them, which is why they were a bit annoyed with me for keeping quiet. Although I didn't know all that, I just knew she wasn't in my envelope. come the wrap party, where they had revealed five members and not the sixth one, because no one at that point knew what had happened with Nadine or not. They were actually debating, should we invite the psychic or not? She might spill everything to the papers. So you can reassure your hubby, it was totally, totally forward. And the envelope was opened on camera. And Louis Walsh, I think, who did American Idol, stand in for Simon Cowell quite recently, the Irish guy that was on the panel there, he was the guy that opened the envelope, and you could tell he was nearly embarrassed for me in advance, taking name out one by one, and it was like, oh, she got two, right, okay. oh, a third, and it was actually quite, he was very sweet about it, yeah. It led to that comment, which is a highly dangerous comment, where he said, when he introduces me to some Irish party, he'll go, oh, the woman that knows everything, you know.
All of a sudden, really. Yes.
So, it was a good story, and it was a good experience, and, you know, it catapulted my career, obviously, in Ireland, although I was already doing a Dear Sarah Agony Aunt column weekly, the more serious side of things, and readings, obviously, and guidance. But, yeah, I mean, you know yourself, Jennifer, we have this kind of thing of, oh, is the media... You know, how far should we go into the media with this? Yes, the skeptics out there, but also, you've done TV yourself. It's kind of like, oh, well, how does it... I'm always quite aware, it's why I like radio, actually, even more than TV. Oh, you know, how does this actually look on TV? How does it come across? And, you know, because the gift is a serious thing, and we don't want to misrepresent it or misrepresent ourselves. And the TV has certain ways of presenting things, doing things. It's so easy to get into a corner with that. I don't know how have you found that. I just find, oh, you have to trust it. When spirit wants you to do it, you have to trust it. But
I trust my guidance more than I do with anything that's said from here, from this conscious level, because it just, I actually now don't even know how to operate from here, because when I get told to do something and it looks, you know, I was told to read an audience with John Holland and Maureen Hancock and on national television. And I, at that point in time, thank goodness I took a platform class, you know, with Lisa Williams, but I never read an audience. And so I got asked to do that, and I said, sure. That just came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
Why not? And then I thought, if I'm going to do this and I fail miserably on national television, then I won't have to do it again. How great is that? I was, you know, if I'm not meant to do this, and then I will certainly know it, and so will the rest of the world. And that, you know, because I never went into this. No one, like I've said before on radio shows, no one was ever happy when I told them that I saw people from the other side or that I knew things. They were just like, you know, they weren't like, oh, you're going to be on TV now. You're going to go travel. You're going to go teach. No.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it doesn't work. I mean, it might look glamorous doing that, but it's the thing of, spirit. The spirit wants you to do it. Yeah, I'm like you. I know if I'm getting an offer, I have to say yes. Well, pretty much anyway, you know. Obviously, within reason, but you get that knowing of I haven't maybe done it quite like that before, but I'm obviously meant to do it, you know.
I get to the point where I don't know what I'm capable of, and I just operate from there. I really don't. Every single person that leaves the planet had different gifts, and so every person that comes through is going to be different. And who's to say, you know, what I can do. I have no idea what I'm capable of. I am very knowledgeable at what I'm not capable of doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But not with this gift. And it really, people don't, you know, people are starting to understand. And the reason why Shea Parker is so, you know, the Shea Parkers and Lisa Williams and other teachers that really, really, really want to bring this out the right way. And to, that's why we've all been tested. That's why we've all been, you know, tested and validated, because we want this to be something that people can count on and people can, so there's not, you know, they don't get taken like, you know, like they're good doctors, bad doctors, same in our field. And it's, you know, you struggled with it. I saw, you know, as I was diving deep and as far as.
Oh, yeah. Google me and you'll see all sorts of stuff.
No, I know. Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I didn't know I needed to know all this 6 weeks in advance.
Yeah, you know?
Like,
I know. Yeah,
but you're the reluctant psychic, just like I was. You know, and we have to be the change that we want to see, and we are the change that we want to see. And there's so many more aspects of you. I just wanted to get the fun stuff out because this stuff, I mean, it's all fun and games, but I'm telling you, that was fascinating to me. That, I mean, I love the way that you really put yourself out there. No, I don't know how many people do that. I mean, we'll go into, you know, this is your spirit hour, and I'm with Sarah DeLemaire, and I am going to come back. Please wait for us, and we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back with some of the predictions of this year.
So I fell for everything. You held me down, but
Hello, this is Jennifer Schaefer, and you're back with your Spirit Hour. And I'm here with this Irish celebrity, mystic, seer, healer, life coach, expert, and consciousness facilitator, Sarah De La Mer. And you can reach her at www.sarah, S-A-R-A-H, D-E-L-A-M-E-R.com. Yes, you can reach her there. She is quite a mystic to the fullest degree that you can imagine. And we were just, you know, earlier in the show, we were talking about just her accuracy, her incredible accuracy with predictions. And I actually wanted to know about this process, because there's a lot of us that are psychic and there's a lot of us that are mediums, but it really takes someone like you to put yourself out there with predictions. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about your process?
Yeah, it's I've got a natural sort of connection to the media, even before I sort of stepped out, and the last story I was telling people about on the TV work I've done and different things. Obviously, that was on air prediction. But I think when you're tuned into the universe, and I'm quite musical, so I was quite aware of musical celebrity. And I worked actually at U2's nightclub as a hostess when I first landed in Dublin.
Oh, and how fun.
That was great. I thought you'd like that story, yeah. And I met half of Hollywood. You know, obviously Bono knows everybody. So it naturally tuned me in. Not that I was nosying in. You know, we're not nosy. And obviously, when I'm doing public predictions, which for the newspapers I do at different points in the year, but it just sort of I'm quite tuned into that world, let's say, or also just in, if we're tuned into the universe and we get a sense of what might be happening with the weather. Some of us are quite tuned into earth energies, and we might predict earthquakes or different weather patterns. You know, psychics have different areas of prediction, or some people can do bits of everything, or some people are more into past lives or whatever. So my process of predicting, I mean, more often than not, it's a deadline for a newspaper. I have to sit down and think, oh, okay, what am I going to come up with for this year? I do videos of my predictions for people for their interest. They're on YouTube at thepsychicsarah.com. And so, you know, it's all a bit of fun, but obviously you have to be careful of people's privacy. You know, celebrities are human beings, and you've got to be careful how much you say. That they're not public property. That, well, in some respects they are, but they're not really, and we have to be ethical. But so obviously part of my process is to be careful and not to nose in too much. But right. it's quite impressionistic, I suppose, what comes through. But yeah, because I'm kind of tuned in, and I've met quite a lot of celebrities and music think programs like X Factor and the reality show programs. I keep quite a close eye on those, because my newspapers will often say, oh, can you write us a piece on this, you know, X Factor. So it just naturally tunes me in, and then I find even if I'm going out on a walk with the dogs, and I might find that predictions just start coming at me anyway. Obviously, I switch off, because, I mean, you can get a bit bored with all that. you know, it's kind of like I suppose in some ways you could say it's superfluous or super. I don't say it's superficial, but it's a fun thing. Yeah, it's a fun thing. It's a fun use. There's the more serious side, obviously, though, if you're looking at politics and, you know, what people could expect on a personal level. I mean, I do astrology columns, so there's a predictive element tuned into the universe on, obviously, what I write for the week ahead, for the month ahead, if it's a magazine, a monthly. You know, so I think fundamentally it's really how sort of grounded and tuned in you are as to what kind of predictions you're going to get as a psychic, I think. From what I can gather. I mean, have you found that, Jennifer?
I actually tried to, because I love sports so much, doesn't mean that I can predict the outcomes. If I'm not involved with sports, I can predict an outcome.
But
if the second that I look at what they're against and, you know, who they're playing, if just like you did with Nadine, you know, you're like, wait, she's not in there. And if they say that somebody's, you know, that somebody is a favorite to win and I don't think they're going to win, then you get that sick feeling that then you can't figure out which it is. Then it ruins that whole sense of, you know, and of course we're here to change the outcomes. So it's, I haven't quite figured, I'm not good at predicting per se, but my strong point, I believe, and what I'm finding out is that I see things so far in the future. And I see endpoints. Not like the end of life, but I see endpoints. I know that this person is going to have this and do this and with work or whatever, but I don't know the in-between stage.
Yeah, okay.
And until they ask me to look into it, but I'll get the endpoint. And so I'm confident in that. I'm very confident in my work with that. I tend to live in the future that way. But when it comes with, you know, with actual gambling, which... You know what? I wish so much I was good at. I would even, just to be good at that, I would donate my funds. I would give it to charity. Like, if they could utilize me, if Spirit could utilize me to bet on sports, and I can be in a, like, if I can be a professional sport, you know.
Well, you know what? I've done it. I've given, professional sportsmen, again, I know a few of his friends. And yeah, they, a lot of them are into the bit of the gambling and the horses, you know, in Ireland, of course. Irish rugby team. And I gave them tips. Actually, it was amazing, magical year for the rugby team. And what you were saying about being sort of connected to the team, I can totally identify with that because I knew some of the lads and I kind of, obviously like the rest of Ireland, really wanted them to win that championship. And I was sort of giving tips about particular games, unofficial, this is unofficial, of course.
Right.
But, you know, certain hints and tips and stuff like that. But obviously the lads in their leisure time, they'll pull out the paper for the horses and they started to say, okay, come on, pick one out. And these couple of guys were just getting on the coach to go win the championship. And I said, okay, 4:30, there's a 14-1 and some particular horse was, and I noticed a couple of them going out with their mobile phones into the corridor and it sure enough, it came through. But yeah, it's that thing of, the more you know, the more detail you have, the more it's, you're right, it's a conflict, the logic starts to come in, you kind of better if you don't overthink it.
It's my cognizant mind is very, very strong, unfortunately. And this is the one job you can actually lose your mind while you're working if you can actually stay away from your you know, from this field of existence. But it's too difficult when there's money out of, when there's, of course, with anything, when there's an attachment to the outcome. Now, I know we've talked about all of the fun stuff. And, of course, you know, that's why you have to come to L.A., superficial L.A.
But exactly. I'm
kidding.
Great. Yeah.
You know, it is so wonderful here. It is, I am so happy to work here because I do get to travel, whether it's physically, you know, I'll be going to Orlando this weekend to teach an intuitive workshop on Saturday. But normally, I mean, I'll tell my little girl, she's like, where did you go today? And I'll tell her, oh, I went to Ireland. I went to, you know, Maine. I went to Vegas, you know, all the places that I virtually get to go when I work with clients. And that to me is still going. So it's kind of fun. But I want to talk about all the incredible work that you do with, you know, I mean, just animal communication, with your astrology. Wow. I mean, I was very impressed with all of your astrology, your astrological capabilities. And, I mean, you really, I mean, as far as even being a certified Reiki, you know, practitioner, you've done so much. Like you are constantly hungry, and I can appreciate that because that's how I feel as well. But you've really done a lot of work. What is about astrology besides the stars or the name of the stars or however you want to call it? What is it that drew you to astrology?
Oh, I remember as a child, a six-year-old, lying in my bed and just looking out at the stars and feeling so sort of connected, maybe even astral travel at that age. I studied astronomy, obviously, just in terms of educating myself, and it was just the energy and the draw of them. And I mean, I'm not one of those really technical astrologers, I'll be honest. All the math. I mean, I've got an amazing karmic astrologer friend, June, who, she does amazing predictive karmic mathematical astrology. Obviously, we train in bits of that, but I find I sort of tend to call myself psychic astrologer. Obviously, I study the planets and feel the energy, tune into that and how it links to the person. I find also when I'm doing the radio, if someone just quickly gives me their astrology sign, not even their date of birth, I find it a real quick opening energetically, just to zoom in on their energy. Yeah, it's like a key I can quickly, and it doesn't mean I'm going to then spout about Pisces to them, you know, or whatever. But it's just for some reason it just zoom in on their energy through that little bit of information. Equally, I don't need that bit of information, but it's just kind of handy for radio when you're illustrating something as well, you know.
That's interesting.
So yeah, it's just a natural. Again, it's this being in tune with the universe. I mean, there's part of me though. I mean, I have a evangelical Christian background, so I was kind of conflicted at points. You probably have seen with my story, it's like, oh, you know, how much of this is okay, and it's been a long journey, you know, trying to integrate all of that spiritually.
I can empathize with you very much so, but I did love the fact that your grandmother Mary, your father's mom, that your grandfather used to tell her, because she had incredible intuition, but she would use it to like make your favorite meal, and she would use it, you know, she just knew things, and your grandfather would tell her, well, you're going to get burned at the stake. I thought that part of the story, I mean, obviously being the reluctance, we both, isn't it fascinating though, to be born, I was born in a very religious family, we both love, I could tell we both appreciate the way we were born, but it really did set us on our path because we were so conflicted internally. And there's, I can't tell you how many people fear this based upon religion. And it's not anything to take away from religion. It's actually just to add to it. We never replace doctors when we use, the medical intuitive. Yeah. I'd never replace a doctor. I would never replace a therapist. In fact, I have such high respect for therapy right now because of, you know, the mediumship grief guidance that I go through with clients. I give them back to their therapist, and because they manage that. I can't manage that. Mm-hmm. But there's so many aspects of this that we just, it adds to what they're already in practice. They don't have to leave what they know to accept, you know, a higher order, if that makes sense. And you really, I just felt like we had very similar journeys when it came to our upbringing. And we came to the same conclusion that we're this little speck and we're just doing all of it. We're stardust.
I mean, it hasn't affected my own faith in God is still strong.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It becomes stronger because and that's because we had to let go of the fearful aspect, which was the hardest thing for me at the end to let go of. But when I realized that if I didn't utilize the gifts and I kept them to myself, then that would be someone that I would think would be going to if there was a hell, which you and I probably agree there's not. It's a mindset here. I don't know. You might think there is. I don't know. I didn't even ask that
Well,
question.
I don't have a Catholic background. I have purgatory. I sometimes think this is purgatory. But
Well, that's what I'm saying. I had the most beautiful thing, just real fast. A client of mine, the family lost her father. And I had one of the most beautiful things given to me from their father in spirit. It was actually one of the, a child that... his son actually was questioning, because his dad was taken away, if there's an afterlife, like, why would God do that kind of thing? And I felt, I'm like, I'm not here to make you believe in anything because that's your journey, but I'll give you facts from the other side. And I said, let me ask your dad, you know? And so I asked his father, and his father said, you know, his heaven was here on earth with his family.
Yeah.
And so I have never heard that before. You know, because he just wanted to know if his dad was in heaven. And his dad said, and he said it even better than that, because clearly when it comes from spirit, I'm just, you know, we're channels, and then it goes away. But his dad said it so beautifully. My heaven was there from where I'm standing right now. Yes, I'm fine. I'm peaceful. Everything's, you know, I'm not in pain. But my heaven was with my family. And it really, really, I just, it in this line of work, we are, we become so humbled by just the enormous capacity of spirit helping everyone that's here, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I remember getting that flash myself of, well, it's biblical. The kingdom of heaven is within you. You know,
yes,
it's biblical. Yeah,
very much so. Hey, we'll come back. We're going to take another break with some more music, and we'll be right back.
I've been so still, afraid of crumbling. Have I been careless, dismissing all the distant rumblings? Take me where I am supposed to be, to comprehend the things that I can't see. 'Cause I need to move, I need to wake up, I need to change, I need to shake up, I need to speak out. Something's got to break up. I've been asleep and I need to wake up now. And as a child, like it was 1999, my dreams were wild. The promise of this new world would be mine. Now I am throwing off the carelessness of youth to listen to an inconvenient truth.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming back. You are listening to Your Spirit Hour, and I'm the host, Jennifer Schaefer, on Best American, Best of the Best, Shea Parker's Best of the Best. Thank you for listening, and I'm here with Ireland's best-known mystic, Sarah de la Mer. She is a healer, seer, astrologer, and consciousness facilitator. She is known all over the world, and she is absolutely amazing. She is a very, very incredible magical person who is known for her accuracy with timing events, and she is also known for her work. She is somebody that a lot of us at Best American Psychics, when we're, you know, we have our days where we need some help, and she's one of the first ones to respond. And she's not even, she's in Ireland. Sarah, you there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here. I'm always here. Yeah. No, I mean, it's wonderful. It's a great family group, and I feel so connected with so many members. It's a lovely family feeling.
It is. We can't wait to get you actually over here.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time coming, and looks like it can finally sort out. Certainly, it's been predicted for this year. So.
Can we just talk a bit a little,
yeah, sure.
A second about that? What I love about it was, I'm like, you got to get. I think I even told you that. I'm like, you're coming to LA. I thought you were already here. And then you're like, well, I like this little place called Hermosa. For those of
right,
you, in the,
right where you are, yeah.
If you like this little place in Hermosa, I actually live a mile away from there. In fact, there's some great little. I live in Manhattan Beach. There's some great little tidbits. The movie that Leonardo DiCaprio just won a Golden Globe for, The Wolf on Wall Street. Yeah. The person that he played actually used to live up my street before I went to prison. How funny is that? And I know, a little tidbit. And also the person that put Manson away, the judge that put Manson away, he's passed, but lived on my street. I mean, and then there's me, but it's actually, we're talking,
the street.
It's all on my street. I find it very funny. I'm like, I love my street. And then of course my son goes, and the person that talks to dead people right here.
knock on her door.
I know. And I'm like, Jack, no one in spirit has ever told me they're dead. It's just semantics as far as the way that people leave here. Yeah. That we say, I still play like jokes. Like when I know that they're gone, because a family's here saying that they're gone, I'm like, are you dead? Just in my head, you know, because I ask questions silently. I always get, no. I'm waiting for someone to say yes, but no one will ever give me that.
Yeah. I mean, it's wonderful confirmation of it's everything. Everything is energy, and energy just cannot die. Where does it go? I mean, how do you see it, Jennifer? When, you know, you're talking to people, the thing is, how do they see themselves? I mean, I don't do so much mediumistic work as you do. I do some within a reading, but I'm curious. I shouldn't be asking you the questions, but I should be curious. Old habits die hard.
Well, that's so. You know how you had someone that when you were a young girl, you saw someone in your room, right?
Yeah. That's
well,
right.
I've never not seen that.
Yeah. Okay.
I've seen that, and so when I walk, basically, it's two dimensions, which there's many. I'll just save it. Okay. Please know, audience, there's tons of different things, but I'm making it simple. The two worlds are merged into one for me. So I see spirit right next to the person. I see spirit as they talk to me, and then they go away, and I have to ask them sometimes to come back because I can't hear them telepathically even when they go away. And when they're around you, that's where you get those chills. Well, that's spirit's energy. And I see that when they're, you know, when they're around. And that's when I'll ask questions, you know. Then it goes from looking at them to your mind's eye. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so then I see them and, you know, that's where your pineal gland is open. And that's where I see all the images. They give me all the imprints, all the feelings, all the emotions. But I always see it first. And then I ask questions, and then I feel the answers, and then, you know, and I'm constantly talking to spirit when I talk to people, but it's a form of energy. They move. That's how orbs move when it's caught on film. That's how they show up. So I see their face. They don't come in a full body. I see their full body in my mind's eye, but I see their, you know, they're right next to us. They're merging. It takes everything out of them to merge from one dimension to the next, to ours. Everything out of them. So they do that, and they give me the information, and then it like transfers over to a different channel in my mind's eye. But they want so much to be, they're so, I treat them, you have to treat spirit like you do anybody else, because how great, we can learn so much, you know, from them. And I do every day. That's why I love to work every day, just like you do, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Well, it's work that finds us whether we try to retire. I mean, probably like you, you've tried to run away from it 101 times. But
I do when yeah. it's working with cases, when it's working yeah. with solving their own murders. You know, that sometimes takes a lot longer to land. Like, it takes a lot longer for me to come back here.
Yeah.
Yeah, does that make sense to you?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, yeah, I got a bit involved with the Madeleine McCann case, and it's a completely, in a couple of cases in Ireland, yeah, missing people. As with everywhere, there's particular cases in Ireland that everyone wants resolved. And, yeah, it's a completely different kind of work, isn't it? It's very, yes. Heavy energies oftentimes, and, yes. yeah. very absorbing, and it's very difficult to remain detached.
Yes, yes, it's a practice. It's a practice, yeah. or else you won't be able to be of service.
Exactly,
and
yeah. yeah.
I've looked at it as I've had to start viewing it as a game, and I went through the process with Shay in the interview last week, but it helped me detach. It doesn't mean I don't sit there and cry afterwards or whatever. Mm-hmm. I lose my noodle, but it's where it's my cases have given me, like your celebrity. I wish I had your celebrity predictions. My cases have given me that fearless aspect of what I do on day to day basis, and yours has given you the other. But
amazing all the different things, isn't it? That I think it's that detachment is key, actually, because it's like, yes. well, what is spirit or God asking me to do now? And as you say, it's this not knowing what we're capable of. And actually, I see, for example, a lot of my astrology writings, I sort of think, well, where do they come from? I mean, did I write that? You know, oftentimes it's channeled right. often, I think, right. that part of what I do, or an article on something, how much do I really know logically about that thing, and yet I can write a piece on it. I mean, I was like that at university with essays, actually. sleep with a book under my pillow and kind of all of a sudden could write on sort of any subject sort of thing. So there's a huge channeled element, and I think I'm just bringing us to that thing of how much or how do we know what we know, you know, how do I know to trust what I know? It's kind of,
and the more you know, the less you know, and the more you understand that statement. Hey, we just have couple minutes left. Is there anything that's going on in your life right now that you'd like to talk about for events, or I want to make sure that everyone can reach you. Please check her out. I have it's on my website, but please check. Go to Sarah De La Mer, SarahDeLamer.com. You will not be disappointed. You could sit there. She says, "Stay a while," and she is not kidding. you'll start going through it, and you won't be able to leave it. But
a bit of labyrinth, yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a sort of fun kind of, not, you know,
it's fun kind of. It's fun. It's light. It's so great. I love that.
thank you.
I do want to thank you. I want to thank you for being here with me. I want to thank you for all the work that you do. You are such a beautiful person inside and out, and I cannot wait to have you live over here.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on the show. I've loved it. It's been great fun. Thank you, Jennifer.
You're welcome. With that, I want to say thank you to the audience, and I'll see you next month on the second Tuesday.
Shay Parker's Best of the Best.
You're sampling the best.
Thank you for listening, and remember to visit us at bestamericanpsychics.com and bestamericanhealers.com. If you missed any of the show, be sure to catch us in the archives on iHeartRadio. Best of the Best. Why go anywhere else?